Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's a hard gospel reading. In our gospel, Jesus, he has some really difficult words for the disciples that no doubt had them scratching their heads. Cut off your hand? Gouge out your eye? But this hard sayings, these hard sayings of Jesus is in response to a specific incident. See, there was a man, he wasn't a part of the in crowd, he wasn't a member of the church, he wasn't a part of the discipleship club, but he was using the name of Jesus to perform miracles. And the disciples, they wanted to stop the man. But Jesus said, don't stop him, whoever is not against us is for us. And then Jesus used this opportunity to teach the disciples about putting a stumbling block in the way of other people's service to God, because that's exactly what the disciples are trying to do. Jesus warns that it's better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone around your neck. That's a giant stone, I mean huge stone used for grinding grain. It's better to be thrown into the sea with that than to put a stumbling block in somebody's way who's working for the kingdom of God, like the man who is performing miracles in Jesus' name. But it's not only in making other people stumble. Jesus also has a word for the disciples about things that make themselves stumble. And he has some harsh lessons for the disciples to hear so that they can examine their own lives. If your hand, if your foot, if your eye causes you to sin, get rid of them, cut them off. Rip them out, be maimed, live crippled rather than stumble into the kingdom of heaven. I think we all know Jesus is using hyperbole here. With his over-the-top rhetoric, I think Jesus is giving the disciples a single lesson that they can take away from all of this. Sin, the thing that causes us to stumble, is meant to be taken very seriously. There's a lot of cattle ranches in Texas, and every once in a while a cattle will wander off. And if you ask a rancher, how does a cattle wander off, the rancher will tell you, well, the cattle will eat this tuft of grass, and then when it's done, it'll go to the next tuft of grass, and then when it's done with that one, it'll go to the next tuft, and then it'll go by the tuft near a hole in the fence, and then it'll go on the other side of the fence. See, the next thing you know, the cow has nibbled itself into being lost. See, Jesus knows that we've nibbled ourselves into being lost. We move from one tuft of sin to the next tuft, never noticing how far we've actually gotten away from God. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters. How many of you have read the Screwtape Letters? All right, you all need to go home, go on Amazon, buy the Screwtape Letters, because this is an excellent book on sin by C.S. Lewis. It's a book about a mentor demon who writes letters back and forth with his nephew, and they're talking about how to lead the Christian into sin. And, you know, it's a fake story, and but he provides some really good insights. And the uncle says this, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without any sudden turnings, without mile markers, without signposts. See, I think Jesus, with his over-the-top language, is trying to tell us just how dire our situation is. We are lost. We've taken the gentle slope. We're stuck in sin, and it's serious business, and it has to be dealt with immediately. And sin is this. It simply means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. We're told in the book of Genesis that in the beginning God created everything good, that God created the stars and the skies, and it is good, that God created the animals, and they are good, that God created everything and humanity and said it was all very good. And that has not changed. Creation is still good. But humans were not content with what they were given. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to have the same knowledge that God have. And so the Adam and Eve story is not only about how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Adam and Eve were trying to be God themselves. See, by eating the fruit, they were telling God, your ways are not going to be our ways because we know better than you. We will be our own individual gods because we don't trust you. See, the Adam and Eve story, it's a powerful story, not because it's something distant that happened in the past, but because it happens to each of us still today. Martin Luther, he talked about sin as being the inclination to be turned in on yourself. The word was, we are navel gazers. I think original sin is like a virus. When we're sick with a virus, we always try to treat the symptoms, things we can see, but that's not how you get rid of a virus. The only way to get rid of the symptoms forever is to kill the virus. See, original sin is the virus that we are infected with, and the sins that we commit, the actions and the non-actions that we confess every Sunday, those are just the symptoms. And I think Jesus, with his over-the-top language, shows us the lunacy of just attacking the symptoms rather than the virus itself. Frankly, friends, we don't have enough body parts to keep cutting off when we miss the mark. Even if we were to cut off our hands and our legs and our eyes, we would still have our hearts and our minds and our tongues. See, the solution for sin has to come from outside of ourselves, because we can't get rid of the virus on our own. Some may think, well, I'm a good person. I do good things for the community. I help my neighbor. I volunteer my time. But trying to solve the problem of sin with doing good deeds is like trying to get rid of the virus with cough medicine. It treats the symptom. It helps. It's good. But it's not the real problem. The only answer to sin, the only cure to the virus, comes from outside of the person, and it is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the answer for sin. He came to earth and he taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. He rose from the grave. And when we are baptized, we are put to death in the grave with him, and we rise again with him as well. See, what we are given is not ours. The righteousness we have is not ours. It's an alien righteousness that comes from Jesus. We as Lutherans, we have a saying that we are, I've said it before, simul ustis et peccator. That's Latin. And what it means is that we are at the same time sinners and saints. And you can claim that as your very own. Sinners because we come from an earth that's broken and marred and has a virus, but saints because you have been given, you have been clothed with Jesus in your baptism. God declares, yes, you are sick. Yes, you are a sinner. And then immediately through Christ heals, rescues, and declares that you are forgiven. And it's not because of any good work that we've done, but it's only because of what Jesus has done. See, the good news in all of this, the good news in our gospel story that Jesus is getting at, is that God loves you right now, just as you are, and promises to forgive you the sickness of sin and make you well. So God knows that we sin. God tells us, and I think our scripture tells us, to take that pretty seriously. And with all of this, God loves you unconditionally. Amen.